Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yes, Tuesday edition, Make It Rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN. And my goodness, we have so much to do today. And listen, we will get into everything else in the world of sports coming up in a minute. But we have some monster major breaking news. Literally minutes ago, the New York Knicks have fired Tom Thibodeau. Shams Charania, our good friend over at ESPN, just broke the story. And Tom Thibodeau is out as the head coach of the New York Knicks. And let me be crystal clear. I absolutely positively hate this. I think this is awful. I think this is irrational. I think this is irresponsible. I think this is mind-numbing. I mean, this is absolutely positively insane. This is inane. Tom Thibodeau just led the New York Knicks to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. 25 years. Made the playoffs in 4 or 5 years. Led the Knicks to consecutive 50-win seasons for the first time since the 1990s. And they show him the door? He's Jalen Brunson's guy. He's Rick Brunson's guy. I've got a lot of issues and a lot of questions with this. This bothers the hell out of me. If you take a look at the odds on DraftKings to win a championship for next season, the New York Knicks have top odds. They are a top three team for next season. Literally, earlier today on my SiriusXM radio show, I had Mike Breen, voice of the Knicks, voice of the NBA on ESPN and ABC, on my SiriusXM radio show, and I asked him about changes for New York for this upcoming season, and Breen and I were on the same page. Nothing major. There's no reason to do anything major. This team, to me, as is, absolutely can win the Eastern Conference. And certainly the head coach being terminated was not in the cards. And Breen, you know, was philosophically opposed to this. Made absolutely no sense to fire Tom Thibodeau. And we could talk about, you know, not playing the bench, or we could talk about how he plays his guys a ton of minutes, or whatever you want to talk about that's in the Tom Thibodeau equation. Listen, they just went to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They reached literal heights that haven't been done in over 2 decades in New York. So I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I've also seen the Dolan chaos and garbage and nonsense throughout the last couple of decades. I mean, I remember David Fizdale, and I remember Larry Brown, and Lenny Wilkins, and Don Chaney, and Mike Woodson, among others here that tried to make it work. Now, you hope Leon Rose knows what he's doing? You hope that the calm nature and impact of someone like Jalen Brunson will be able to offset some of the zaniness, but this one bothers me, man. And, you know, it lasted 2-3 days in terms of the aftermath and the decision-making and, you know, taking a breath. And we haven't even started the NBA Finals yet. And here we are. My goodness. Now, I will say, for the sake of conversation as we advance it and move it forward, I will say that the one name that we have talked about forever as the eventual replacement for Tom Thibodeau, and I'm just going to stay very consistent. And I'm a pissed off Knicks fan today. Let's be crystal clear. I am livid with this monster major breaking news. The one name that I've talked about where if Thibodeau didn't get it done that you needed to look at is Dan Hurley, the UConn head coach. That's the name. And we talked about last year, Dan Hurley with the Adrian Wojnarowski report, which was obviously spot on, that the Lakers wanted him to be the coach, that if he turned down that job, that he would eventually, down the road, coach the Knicks. And we've interviewed Dan Hurley before on our SiriusXM radio show, and that was hot and heavy. And, yeah, at some point down the road, coaching in the NBA, very much on the radar here for someone like Dan Hurley. So That, to me, is a name that makes a ton of sense. And listen, under the circumstance, that's how I would go about it in terms of finding someone who has won, albeit on the collegiate level. But I thought he would have been an amazing coach for the LA Lakers, so that checks a lot of boxes here. You know, obviously, Mike Malone is available. He's won a championship. He used to be a Knicks assistant, you know, has ties to the current brass. I would also suggest that Mike Malone wore out his welcome at the end in Denver, and he could certainly be prickly, no question about that. So I think that would obviously come with some questions and some concern here as well, even though I happen to like Mike Malone a lot and he deserves a lot of credit. But it goes noted that obviously they parted ways with him in Denver, then bam, played their best ball and ended up taking OKC to game seven of the second round of the postseason after beating a piping hot Lakers team without him. You know, you can start talking about assistants. You know, you could start talking about, would Jeff Van Gundy ever come back? I don't think that's going to be in the cards. There's no supernatural name that outside to me of Dan Hurley and Mike Malone that you float out there. You know, will Jalen Brunson be involved in the process? Does he have names that, and by the way, I'm always of the belief when you have certain stars who, you know, are relevant and dominant and someone who's as clutch as Brunson and face of a franchise, if he's involved in picking the next head coach, yeah, I mean, that's a huge positive here for the Knicks. But, boy, this bothers me, man. This bothers me. I mean, we talked about how Tibbs, the hot seat, the conversation would be an inferno if they ended up losing in five and it would have been unfair. I thought the optics of game, you know, getting into a game six would be enough. Look, we ranted yesterday what happened in game six, and the Knicks were favored to win. There's no doubt about it. So I can appreciate the frustration. I mean, it was a bitter disappointment what happened with the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. But this just feels chaotic and wrong. Chaotic and wrong when it comes to Tom Thibodeau being terminated as the head coach of the Knicks. So I thought continuity would work. I thought that, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, you know, they had a choppy first seasons in New York. I thought another season under the watchful eye of Tom Thibodeau, that would have worked out. That would have paid dividends. But this is a stunner. And obviously, you know, they're getting ahead. We got a summer of Giannis. We got the draft coming up. To do this instantly now, that shows you, and I have to imagine this is a James Dolan decision, that shows you that this internally, you know, they looked at it as the season was a disappointment. Or you look into that crystal ball and you say, okay, can we get to a championship with this specific guy as the head coach? And, you know, there are countless examples in sports. You know, we talk about that with the Buffalo Bills and Sean McDermott. And, you know, does he have the ability here to, you know, win a title with his personality and X's and O's? And, man, I feel terrible for Tom Thibodeau. I really do. I think he got a raw deal here, a major raw deal. There were certain things that bothered me. Not playing Cat at the end of game two was obviously problematic. They were favored in Vegas. The odds makers are certainly part of this to beat the Indiana Pacers. I'm still not over the fact that the Knicks aren't playing in the NBA Finals. I mean, again, preseason expectations. I got to make sure I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth here, right? Preseason expectations. I had the Knicks and OKC in the NBA Finals. So this, to me, is a bit of a stunner. This is a disappointment. I will be open-minded to see what's next and who's next. The reaction of the players as well. You know, unless Giannis Antetokounmpo demands that he goes to the Knicks, I don't see how the Knicks have the best offer for him. So chances are the Knicks are running it back with the exact same players. That's going to be the likelihood here, that they run it back with the top six, which is 92% of the salary cap when you consider, obviously, Brunson and Katz and OG and Bridges and Hart and Mitchell Robinson. you know, could you make some changes and tweaks at the back end? Absolutely. My friend Ian Begley, who is a superb SNY reporter in New York who covers the Knicks, I talked to him the other day on my SiriusXM radio show yesterday. He said Al Horford is a name they could bring in. Chris Paul is a name they could bring in. Tyus Jones is a name that they could bring in. But man, this is crazy talk. This is wild. And I'll tell you, people ask all the time, you know, why did Knicks fans celebrate like they hadn't done it before after they beat Boston on that Friday night? Well, because there's always chaos that rules here. I've got a lot of questions. And what I want to know more than anything else, you have to assume there's a name or two that Leon Rose and Jim Dolan want. You know, they didn't wipe out Leon Rose, which is great. You know, I want to be the fly on the wall when Jalen Brunson heard that Tom Thibodeau is getting fired. I want that thought bubble, what Jalen Brunson's thinking. Is Rick Brunson staying with the organization? That's the star player's dad, who's an assistant coach. That's what I want to know. So I'm fascinated. They clearly want to get a jump on this. Clearly did not think Thibodeau was the coach to lead them to the promised land, despite the odds in Vegas in terms of, okay, this team is still a top three team for next year. East is going to be open next year. You know, Cleveland's got a problem getting over the hump. Donovan Mitchell can't get out of the second round. Tatum's not going to show up. We'll see what happens with Giannis. And the Pacers, you know, were a long shot anyway to make it this year, and they did. So, man, you could have knocked me over with a feather. Tom Thibodeau, fired, and I hate it. Absolutely, positively can't stand it.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You want to bet smarter this football season? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year for just $199. Plus, a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. A no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting the sharp action, making smarter bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access of the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide dropping on July the 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use a promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time right now for Talk It Out Tuesday. And let's start with some football. And let's talk about a division that has four teams separated by two games when you look at over-under win total. Who could you trust in the NFC North? And the Lions are the leader in the pack when you look at it with 10.5 wins as a projected win total, which for a 15-2 team, that obviously is a pretty low number, but I'll get into why I don't trust the Lions in a second. Packers at 9.5, and then the Vikings and the Bears both at 8.5. And this, to me, is a topic today because of two things that are in the news. Number one, Frank Ragnow, the outstanding center, tough, physical, heart and soul of the football team in Detroit, called it a career. So that's kind of a big deal because they've already lost the brains of the operation with Ben Johnson becoming the Bears head coach and Aaron Glenn becoming the Jets head coach. So you've lost brains and now you're losing brawn. If you're a Lions fan or a Lions bettor, that's not a great thing. And clearly Vegas agrees. Normally, if most of the players are coming back, Aiden Hutchinson's coming back, returning gobs of talent, a win total or a preseason win number for a 15-win football team doesn't drop significantly. Take a look at the schedule in conjunction with the preseason win total for the Lions. Vegas has the Lions with the same preseason win total over under as the 49ers. And by the way, I get it. I actually like the 49ers more than I like Detroit. I'm just telling you right now, I don't know if I'm going to even pick the Lions to make the playoffs when it's all said and done. I'm telling you that right now. And I like the under more than I like the over. I mean, look at that schedule. Packers in Green Bay, loss. Ben Johnson revenge game. That's not going to be easy. The Ravens, Monday Night Football. There is a real shot with that brain drain, and now with Frank Ragnow not being there, real shot that the Detroit Lions start the season 0-3. Not to mention in Cincinnati, in Kansas City, in Philadelphia, in Washington, in Los Angeles against the Rams. I mean, the schedule is tough. In the division is obviously murderer's row. I don't believe in the Detroit Lions. I'm not going to bet on them to be a great team for this upcoming season. I kind of like the under for Detroit for this season. Then, of course, you have Green Bay, and they're in the news because Matt LaFleur came to a passionate defense of Jordan Love. Anyone who says he regressed last year, look at our drop rate. You know, he wasn't 100% healthy. Well, let me agree with Matt LaFleur. I don't think Jordan Love regressed. Problem is, he's just not great. Jordan Love is a solid middle-of-the-road quarterback. I think if you're doing a quarterback rankings and you're being honest and objective, and I would challenge you, when I've done this, take out a pen, take out a piece of paper, write down the quarterbacks, and here's the way you rank it, who you want in 2025. Who you want as your quarterback 2025? And Jordan Love is 14 through 18. That's the range for Jordan Love. And he did not play well. And remember, 2023, beginning of the year, he was terrible. Then he caught fire. Now, had a couple of bad games. You know, the Tommy DeVito game, when Tommy DeVito outplayed him in 2023. You know, not great. But he made the playoffs. Deserves credit. He was piping hot. And then had a majestic, sensational game in the postseason against the Dallas Cowboys. Then he was bad against San Francisco, under 200 yards passing, threw for a couple of interceptions. It was no good. And then last year, he was atrocious against Philadelphia in the first round of the postseason. I mean, go back and watch a television copy of that game where Matt LaFleur designed an easy layup play for him in the beginning, and he missed the entire city of Philadelphia, and you know, LaFleur kind of leaned back and threw his hands up and couldn't believe it and looked like he sucked on a lemon. And he was terrible, Love was, and the Packers got run out of Philadelphia. So a complete and utter mess. I mean, look at the schedule here, right? And you could make a case, and LaFleur is a phenomenal coach, and I love the Matthew Golden pickup, and they needed that, the Packers receivers. It is fact, had the second highest drop rate. Love had the second highest drop rate for, you know, receivers trying to catch passes from him. The only quarterback that was higher, ironically enough, was Aaron Rodgers. You know, I could see them winning 10 games, but they're in that 9-10 win range, which means I wouldn't bet on them before the season started. You know, if anything, you kind of want to go under the 9.5, you know, for a little juice and plus money. But I don't trust Green Bay. I kind of really like Chicago this year. I think 8.5 is way too low a number. I think the Bears with Ben Johnson coaching up Caleb Williams, signing Joe Tooney. I think the over 8.5 minus 110 is a fantastic bet when you look at it from a Chicago standpoint. But I'll tell you, Vikings are the forgotten team in the NFL. The fact that their win total is so low in the preseason over-under, they still have Kevin O'Connell, they still have Brian Flores, they're still loaded on offense and defense, they still have Justin Jefferson, and as long as J.J. McCarthy is healthy, I think he's going to dominate and rock and roll. I think he's going to be off the charts amazing. So I think that the Minnesota Vikings are absolutely going to hit the over of 8.5, and you can get them right now when you take a look at it. You can get them at plus 450 to win the division. That's pretty amazing. So I think that's pretty awesome when you look at it from the standpoint here of the Minnesota Vikings. Can Saquon Barkley and the Eagles win again? You have obviously Saquon Barkley on the Madden cover, and that's obviously, you know, historically a bit of a jinx. Listen, I think that when you look at Barkley And you take a look at some odds here for this upcoming season. You know, Barkley to win Offensive Player of the Year, plus 650. MVP, 50 to 1. You know, I love these props. I like the over for Saquon for over 1,500 rushing yards. I love the over for rushing touchdowns, you know, tush, push, revenge aside. But I do think that when you look at the Philly schedule and wins and losses and some odds here, and I think Washington's vastly improved this year, and I think Dallas is going to surprise some people. I think the best team and the team to beat, when you look at it in the NFC, the LA Rams. That's what I'm looking at when it comes to the NFC this year. I think the Rams, as we speak, of course, Barkley and the Eagles can win again. I think that the Rams, with their talent and their coaching and the Devontae Adams pickup, that's the team. We are 3 months away from locking in. We always lock in on the Wednesday after Labor Day on Make It Rain with Adam Schein, our preseason picks. And I think that we're going to be, and today is June 3rd. That's September 3rd this year for the Wednesday after Labor Day. The Rams right now are my prediction to win the NFC. How long will the NBA Finals go? Listen, the Make It Rain with Adam Schein NBA Finals best bets is this series is going to go over 5.5 games. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to win in 6. It's time for OKC to bring home its very first championship. It's absolutely going to happen. Thunder are going to win a championship. You know, we picked the preseason. I am obsessed with OKC, with SGA, with Williams, with Dort, with Caruso, with Hartenstein, with what Sam Presti's done. Obviously, it's just absolutely remarkable. It's sensational. Love everything about this. It's ridiculously incredible. I do think the Pacers, though, and their path here of winning the Eastern Conference, beating Milwaukee, and taking care of business and destroying Cleveland and beating the Knicks, that's ridiculously impressive stuff. So I do think, you know, showing a little respect to Indiana here in the process and believing they could take a couple games is important in terms of betting on this series. Will Connor McDavid finally win the Stanley Cup? Absolutely he will. The Make It Rain with Adam Schein Stanley Cup best bet. Oilers are going to win in 6 games. I want to see McDavid get his revenge, finally win his first championship. It's absolutely going to happen. I firmly believe that that will be the case. I am going to take the Oilers and McDavid to lift the Stanley Cup. I believe it's going to happen in 6 games. I am obsessed with McDavid. I think he's the best player in all of sports. And I just can't get enough. Edmonton is winning the Stanley Cup.
Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, VSiN fans, how would you like to play the Circus Survivor or the Circuit Million contest for free this season? The winner's circle proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest, plus a full proxy service. And get this, you'll be paired to the VSiN host for strategy all season long. Enter now for your chance to win. Just visit winnerscircleproxy.com. That's winnerscircleproxy.com. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Our guy, Zach Cohen, VSiN.com writer, betting analyst, superstar. And I got to tell you, Z-Train, I did not anticipate today that we would be starting this regular spot with the news of the day that Tom Thibodeau fired as the coach of my Knicks. I got to give you credit. You have said it. You said it with us. I heard you on with Stormy and JVT. You've been all over this in terms of a prediction. So take us through this. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I disagree with it. I'm philosophically opposed to it. What's your take on the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll take it a step further. I've said, dating back to January, and I said it on your show, I believe 2 months ago, I think there's a real chance Danny Hurley ends up being the next head coach of the Knicks. But beyond that, I'll just say why I believe Tibbs deserved to be fired. And I'll start with, they just didn't use the regular season the way that they needed to develop their bench. And, you know, they get to the series with the Pacers. They realize they need to start playing some guys more minutes. The starters are tired. Indiana's getting a ton of production from their guys. And he was just kind of throwing things at the wall and hoping it sticked. He did not really know how to deepen out that bench, who to play, how to play them. And I think that that's something that they really ran into trouble with, you know, throughout the entire Tibbs tenure. And I also think that with Tibbs, it's a defensive-minded coach. They never figured out the defense with this team. And I know that a lot of that is on Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns. It's really hard to build a good defense with two negative defenders like that in your lineup. But he should have been able to figure out a way to make it at least somewhat productive. And offensively, he's not giving you much. They're rolling out the ball to Brunson every game. They're hoping that he wins them games. There's not a lot of motion. There's not a lot of involvement with everybody else. I think they feel that they can bring somebody else in and things are going to get better. And if they don't, then they can resort back to the very simple ways that they were playing under Tibbs. So I know that the results were great with him. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. That's viewed as a success. But I think if you asked a lot of teams around the league, they would tell you that if Rick Carlisle had the Knicks roster and Tibbs had the Pacers roster, New York would have won that series.
Listen, that's a fair take, that last point. And the Knicks, I thought, were the better team. And I still don't back off that. And Rick Carlisle outcoached Tom Thibodeau. So, you know, that's a good job by you adding that perspective. I vehemently disagree with this. Now, in terms of names, listen, I've said this for a year. Dan Hurley, to me, is the guy. If something ever happened to Tom Thibodeau, that's the guy that I want coaching the Knicks. Mike Malone makes sense. He also wore out his welcome in Denver. Obviously, he has a championship. You know, take us through some names that you think would make sense, because he checked the odds for the Knicks in Vegas even before the news, Z-Train. They're a top three favorite for next year to win a championship. So who do you think makes sense here for New York to replace Tom Thibodeau?
I really think Hurley's the name. I think it's more realistic than people think. Like, he was not just flirting with that Lakers job for leverage for the UConn money. I know that that's what a lot of people thought. There was genuine interest in him coming to the NBA and taking his talents to LA and taking, you know, exploring that market, exploring that team. And apparently there was a lot of buzz that his wife did not want to leave the tri-state area. Well, this is a chance for him to coach, you know, his childhood team. I believe he's a Knicks fan. Stay in the area. And he has the type of, you know, toughness that they wanted, that they liked with Tibbs, but also the X's and O's stuff that Tibbs just was lacking in. So I think that Hurley is the name you really want if you are a Knicks fan. Malone would feel very similar to Tibbs, in my opinion.
Yes.
Just another, you know,
yes,
tough coach that didn't really trust his bench in Denver. Did, like you said, he wore out his welcome. He didn't really agree with the front office. I think that'd be a little bit too similar. I think the name is Hurley. I would also keep an eye on Johnny Bryant, who is one of the finalists for the Suns job, was an associate head coach under Tom Thibodeau. I don't think that the timing should be ignored here, where the Suns have made him a finalist, looking at maybe hiring him today or tomorrow. Maybe the Knicks want to get him in the door and interview him before Phoenix does that.
That's interesting. Yeah, the timing is noteworthy, right? Like, this was not a coincidence. In theory, you could kind of, even on optics for Jalen Brunson, stretch this out a little bit. That was not the case. So great job by you. And you nailed it too on Hurley. You know, people, you know, think of toughness and, you know, they think of the sideline antics. I'm a huge Dan Hurley fan. His X's and O's are better than yours. Like, whatever coach you want to mention, like, what Hurley runs, it's just unbelievable on offense. Go back to even, you know, LeBron James talking about that on a podcast. And then, bam, you know, he wanted Dan Hurley to be his coach. So, listen, I hate it. I hate that Thibodeau's out. If you're going to ultimately replace him, to me, Dan Hurley is the name. All right, NBA Finals tips off on Thursday's E-Train. Take us through some plays. I mean, look, we obviously love OKC to win the whole thing. We've said that since the beginning of the season. I've got him in six. I think, You know, Indiana could get a game, but it's not going to be game one. I think OKC with that crowd will absolutely take care of business. I'll lay the points with the 9 on Thursday night. What are you thinking for game one? What are you thinking big picture here with this series?
So I think Oklahoma City is going to win in 6 as well. I did take the over 5.5. I can't say I feel that strongly about it. Like, I really thought about this series from an X's and O's standpoint, from a matchup standpoint. It's really difficult to come up with ways to really think Indiana can actually win. But I do think there's going to be a game in Indiana where the Pacers kind of shoot the lights out and the Thunder struggle. I know Oklahoma City has really grown up throughout this postseason, but they are still a young team, relatively unproven in a way. There's going to be a game where they struggle on the road, and Indiana is a very good home team. So I think we're going to see the Pacers win at least one of those two games, maybe both of them. I actually do give Indiana a chance in game one, more so than any other game they'll play in Oklahoma City. I think the Thunder have proven throughout this postseason that they're going to beat teams down when they play in that arena. But I do think Carlisle, with the full week to prepare, is dangerous against Dagnall. I'm a big Dagnall fan, but I do think he's had some slip-ups throughout this postseason. So I do think that if Indiana's going to get one of these games, it's going to be the first one where Carlisle's just had tape to pour over for 5 days and has a full week to drill it into his team. So I'll probably be on the points. I'll take 9 with Indiana in that game. But yes, over 5.5 at plus 115 is my play, and it's not one that I'd play big.
Yeah, we have the same play on this one. I'm like you. I'm not going to play it big, but I'm absolutely going to play it. Z-Train, I was checking you out on VSiN.com, as I always do. Take us through your Chet Holmgren bet.
Yeah, so I took Chet Holmgren to average 20-plus points in this series. And Holmgren is coming off a series where he scored 20-plus in 3 of the final 4 games. I thought he started to really look comfortable delivering in big moments, whether that was with big threes, timely cuts, or just driving to the basket. And I do think that this is a series where he's going to be able to beat the Pacers in a very similar way to Karl-Anthony Towns was, where you use him as a floor spacer to bring Miles Turner away from the basket. That inherently means there's going to be some opportunities for him to knock down some shots. But it also means he's going to be able to use his speed to drive by Turner, who, while he's a great interior defender, can occasionally look like his feet are stuck in the mud. I think Holmgren is really underrated when it comes to putting the ball on the floor and getting to the rim. So I think he's going to have a lot of success in this series offensively.
So I have your VSiN.com French Open prediction best bet article bookmarked because, you know, I've been just doing whatever you say, and I love watching tennis. I love betting tennis. You know, you've been on it. Take us through some hot button points here in terms of the bet you have on Tommy Paul and who you ultimately think is going to win on the men's side when it comes to the French Open.
Yeah, I actually haven't checked that. This Paul bet does look like it's going south fast. Paul has been a little banged up throughout this tournament. Looked really good in his last match, so I put some faith in him being 100% healthy against Alcaraz, who's been struggling. It looks like Alcaraz is probably going to win in straight, so I'll probably lose this one. But it's been a really good tournament for me. I've had a lot of success on sides, on totals, and I had really a ton of success on the futures market. And I will say, for fans of tennis, and even for fans that are not really big on tennis, tomorrow Novak Djokovic is facing Alexander Zverev. That's a box office match that I think anybody can get excited about. I would take Djokovic in that match at about plus 100, which is a little crazy to say for the greatest player of all time to be out there at even money odds. But he was struggling coming into this tournament. He did win an event in Geneva, but he had a really slow to the start of the year on clay. He's starting to round into form right now. This is one of the most mentally tough players in any sport, in the history of any sport. And I do think he's going to be able to find a way to prevail against Zverev, who has trouble getting over the finish line in really big moments. So I would look at Djokovic on the money line in that match. And I like Sinner to win the tournament, which is still out there at favorable numbers.
Wow. Z-Train, as always, unbelievable stuff.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup almost here. ProfitX offering the best odds all playoff long. ProfitX, peer-to-peer sports exchange, available in 40-plus states. first of its kind in the United States. You're going to be able to make your sports picks, which is pretty amazing, against other groups of fans rather than against the old sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Download PROFITX today with the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time for our news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. Big wagering news as the Illinois legislature passed new sports betting tax. This is goofy. I do not like this. Illinois sportsbooks are determining their next move after legislators passed a $55.2 billion budget on Saturday that included a bet fee of 25 to 50 cents per wager. Bill calls for sportsbooks to pay the tax on every bet, which could be passed on to public bettors. Stock market reacted by declining on Monday. Starting July 1st, first 20 million individual bets placed in the states each fiscal year carry a tax of 25 cents apiece. Every bet placed after that brings a fee of 50 cents. Sports Betting Alliance, which represents the interests of the online and brick and mortar sportsbooks, vowed, and this is an important quote here, "This is not the end of this conversation. We will continue to fight this discriminatory tax alongside our customers, both right now in Illinois and in any state that considers these harmful tax changes in the future. The bill is projected to yield more than 40 mil for the state," and I get that. But if you're a sports bettor, I do not like this in any way, shape, or form. How about what transpired last night in Major League Baseball with the Dodgers and the Mets? And listen, we talked to Greg Peterson about this on the show yesterday. The Mets are getting the Dodgers at the right time. And Francisco Lindor homered. Tanner Scott was awful again. You know, the Mets had a lead. Then Ohtani with a homer, then a sac fly. Still found a way to win. Told you we liked the Mets last night, a plus 136. And look, you know, they're going to have Clayton Kershaw on the bump tonight. And, you know, I've got the take and I've backed it up with facts that Kershaw is the best regular season pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. But, you know, and he's a heavy favorite tonight at minus 142. I think the Dodgers get this one tonight. But the Mets are getting the Dodgers at the right time based upon the injuries with the rotation, and they do have a better starting staff right now. Mets did exactly what they were supposed to do against Colorado. They got right. They got healthy. They swept them. You know, it's not about winning just two out of three against Colorado. At this stage, you got to be able to take every single game. And when you look at the National League pennant odds, right, I still think the Dodgers win the National League. I don't think there's any question about that. I still put the Phillies ahead of the Mets. But in terms of getting the right team at the right time, even with the reported news, Mookie Betts, who stubbed his toe, going to the bathroom at night at home, I mean, that's relatable content. And Mookie's going to be back here for LA, according to multiple reports, starting tonight. I think that the Mets will lose tonight against LA, but I do think that the Mets can be able to win this series, take Wednesday's game, Thursday's game. But the Dodgers, obviously, still better big picture here than the New York Mets. Bad news for my Yankees, who plays Luke Weaver on the injured list with a hamstring. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Devin Williams, who they got in the offseason to be the closer, who has been terrible as the closer, phenomenal when you look at it as a setup man. He'll be back in the closer's role. He's simply put going to have to get it done. Nothing really changes for me from a Yankee betting perspective. I still think they win the division, still a heavy favorite. Odds did not move. I think the Tigers are the best team when you look at it in the American League. And I think the Yankees are second. I just need Devin Williams to do the job that he was supposed to do originally for everything to hold serve here for the New York Yankees, who start a series with the Guardians tonight at Yankee Stadium. Weather in New York is great. I expect the balls to be flying out of Yankee Stadium. Yankees monster favorite, Rodon on the bump, and I think they win, obviously. Wouldn't even mind taking them tonight on the run line at plus 105. We referenced the Tigers, first in baseball to 40 wins. They blasted the Chicago White Sox last night. Kerry Carpenter, 3 home runs, 13-1 win for the Detroit Tigers, mauling the Chicago White Sox. And, you know, I think the Tigers deserve to be favorites over the Yankees when it comes to the World Series. And I also think, and it sounds cliche, but it's true, every night a new hero for Detroit. And A.J. Hinch obviously has World Series experience. I think that, look, my pick and prediction will always and forever be the Dodgers. That'll continue to be the pick. If you're looking for the best juice on this board, it would be the Tigers here at plus 850. The Red Sox lost to the Angels. Bad loss for Boston last night. Red Sox have dropped 7 of their last 9. But the story to me, as someone who's of the belief that Mike Trout has had the greatest start to a career in, you know, the history of Major League Baseball before injuries derailed it. He's still going to the Hall of Fame. He hit a moonshot, a prodigious blast, an old school, no doubt about it, bomb from Mike Trout over the green monster at Fenway Park out of the stadium, 454 feet. He tattooed that sucker. How about Adele? Hello. Joe Adele with a couple of homers last night as well. But seeing Trout do Mike Trout things on the East Coast, so everyone can watch it nationwide. My kids can watch it. You know, just amazing, amazing stuff. And if you had Trout anytime, Homer, congrats. That one's for you. Deion Sanders fired back of the Shador critics. And, you know, I just think at this stage, Deion's going to have to stop talking. I mean, what are we doing here if you're Deion Sanders? You're not helping your son out. Listen, it's funny when you look at the odds for who's going to be the Browns starting quarterback. I think that for Joe Flacco, who has the best odds to start, you know, he could also get cut. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Same with Kenny Pickett. One of these guys is not going to be on the active roster week one. I don't think they'll cut Dylan Gabriel because they drafted him ahead of Shador Sanders. So, you know, if I'm Deion, I'm not giving the Cleveland Browns any reason here to think about getting rid of Shador Sanders. How about the Brewers and the Reds? That was fascinating last night. The Brew Crew able to beat the Reds for their 8th straight win. Now, tonight it's going to be Peralta against Hunter Green. I do think that Cincinnati will be able to get on the right side of history and stop the winning streak. I don't think there's any question about that. Hunter Green, they say you're only as good as your next day starting pitcher. That, to me, would be Hunter Green tonight for the Cincinnati Reds. Stop the presses. Pigs might fly. Rockies with a victory in front of about 8 people in Miami. They beat the Marlins last night. 10-50 on the season. Congratulations to the Colorado Rockies. I mean, honestly, guys, just even get that score off the screen. I can't even look at that disgrace of a baseball team. Astros, Pirates, Paul Skeen's going to be on the bump tonight. The props tonight. It's a good pitching matchup with McCullers and Skeens. It's pretty sweet. McCullers with the prop in terms of the strikeouts. 5.5 at plus 105 via DraftKings. Skeens, 6.5 strikeouts, plus 125. Love this board that Mike Cohen and the graphics team have put together. Listen, kind of want to bet on Skeens and McCullers in terms of the strikeouts and the over and the juice attached. I also would have you feast your eyes on the outs recorded. That interests me greatly here with the over for both McCullers and for Mr. Paul Skeens. Are the Phillies going to be able to get back on track tonight against the Blue Jays? Well, they better. I think that Philadelphia minus 135, I think that is a really good play. We have the Diamondbacks and the Braves. Little Zach Gallen, Spencer Strider action for your pleasure tonight. Wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of these pitching props hit. I think Strider is about to catch fire. And you take a look at the strikeouts and over for Strider tonight and for Zach Gallen for that matter. I like them both to hit the over. Best bets brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet and Visa. All you got to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. First 90 days deposit, play through. $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. If first bet's going to give you $100 deposit match, Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through August the 31st. It's pretty amazing. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank, VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. and responded to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. We'll take the Reds on the money line, minus 130. You're welcome, America and Canada. Stay tuned to VSiN after Make It Rain. Father Money, Mitch and Pauly, then Matty Humans, Will Hill, VSiN Primetime, and Cashing Out with Scotty Seidenberg all night long. Thanks to the guys in Vegas and Mike Cohen. We'll talk to you manana. Make It Rain with Adam Schein.